A very good evening to you all, and welcome to our evening service of worship. I can see some of you are attending the second service for today. We had the first physical service at our church house this morning after 6 months of worshiping online. And as you all know, we decided that we will continue to do our Zoom services for those who are not yet confident enough to come back to the church building. So welcome. Let us begin our service as we listen to our psalm for call to worship.
Our call to worship this evening is from Psalm 86. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. And now let us sing our first hymn this evening, which is All Creatures of Our God and King.
Oh, Let us come together now with our prayers. Let us pray. Lord of light and love, let us not be afraid of you. Come among us and enter into each life. Shine your light, revealing things that are crooked or corrupt. Forgive all that is sullen or rebellious. Dismiss our guilt and inertia. Reawaken each gift and virtue. Stir up our neglected ideals and rekindle our passion for loving and serving you with the delight and liberty of those who know they are redeemed. Generous Creator, loving Saviour, divine Helper, we thank you that no person anywhere in this world is a nobody in your sight. There never has been and never will be an insignificant person. When you bring a human soul into being, you reach deep down into your own nature, shaping us in your own likeness and giving us your own breath. By your Spirit, you adopt us into your true family. You know our thoughts and the number of hairs on our head. Through Christ, you plant eternal words into our minds. You have shared our blood, experienced our sufferings, and have lain in a cold tomb. Whenever one of us dies, just like another sparrow falling to the ground, you call out its name as a father calls his only child. Creator and Redeemer, we thank and praise you that no person is a nobody to you. Yours is the inclusive kingdom, the gracious, embracing power, and love's purest glory. We thank you, Lord, that today we were allowed to return to our church building to worship you. Despite the restrictions, it was a delight to be together with one aim, to come before you and give you praise. And let us come together now this evening to say that prayer taught by your Son, Jesus Christ, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is The Splendor of the King. How great is our God.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. In time is in
first reading this evening comes from the book of Proverbs, reading from chapter 30, verses 5 to 9. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonour the name of my God. And our second reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, reading verses 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. And our next hymn is, Lord, the light of your life is shining.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word for us, may the Spirit of God rest upon us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing, in our speaking, in our believing, in our living. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, worry is a common phenomenon in our world because people often feel anxious or troubled about actual or potential problems. It's that sense or that feeling of fear or panic. And when we face stressful situations, it can set off the inbuilt alarm bell system of our brains, which tells us that something is not right and that we need to deal with it. Our brain wants the difficult situation to go away, so it makes us feel more alert, stops us thinking about other things, and even pumps more blood to our legs to help us run away. Most of us worry about relationships. We worry about our finances or the lack of it to solve problems. We worry about our health conditions, whether we are healthy or sick, and need to see the doctors often with very long hours of waiting. And we worry too about the good life, our jobs, and the world situation, be it climate change or immigration, poverty and the widening gap between the poor and the rich. And the question we need to ask as we reflect from the gospel and the text which were read to us this evening is, does anxiety ever solve the problems that beset us? Hear how Corrie ten Boom makes worrying a punishment and a useless attitude for those who dwell in anxiety. This is what he writes. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Dear friends, apart from the individual concerns we may all have, I think one of the things that have brought so much anxiety to people recently is the COVID-19 pandemic. Since March of this year, when the world fully came to terms with the reality that a global health problem had erupted, all of us have been in fear and in panic. There has been anxiety about homeschooling. How does everyone suddenly become a teacher in our homes, classrooms? There has been anxiety about losing our jobs and not being able to meet our needs and feed our families. Anxiety about the prospect of contracting the virus and even dying from it. Anxiety about not being allowed to meet and greet family members and friends or to worship God in a way that physically connects us with one another and with Almighty God. Even at a time when our church doors have been opened for worship, there is still anxiety concerning breaking any rules the government has put in place for our safety and for the safety of others. So we have been worried about our lives, about what we would eat or drink, and about our bodies, what we will wear. And so we have done exactly what Jesus asks us not to do in Matthew 6:25a. Do not worry about your life, about what you are to eat or what you are to drink. And do not worry about your body, about what to wear. Why? Because your life is much more than food and your body more than clothes. And moreover, who of you can add one span to his or her life by worrying about it? So then, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Its own problems are quite enough for the day. Friend, isn't Jesus right in stating the foolishness of worrying about things we cannot control or change, or worrying about the past and the future for nothing? Think of how anxious we have been since the outbreak of the virus. Each passing day, we got a new revelation about COVID-19, how it was spreading and the number of people who were dying from it. And we probably thought we too might be dead by now. However, we are still alive and our heads are still above the water. And yet, if someone told us that we would go through what we have actually experienced and endured during this time of uncertainty, we would have probably said it was impossible. Our anxiety hardly changes anything, and yet worry refuses to learn that lesson of life, namely, that somehow we have been enabled to bear the unbearable and to do the undoable and to pass the breaking point and have not been broken. I think the Dalai Lama was insightful when he suggested that if you have fear of some pain or suffering, you should examine whether there is anything you can do about it. If you can, there is no need to worry about it. If you cannot do anything, then there is also no need to worry. Dear friends, worry is unnecessary and even disabling. It can paralyze people and delay their progress in life because of what it does to one's imagination. That is why Jesus said, "Take no thought for tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow." And that command is the way not only to peace, but also to power and certainty. Jesus Christ is not advocating a thoughtless, improvident attitude to life, but forbidding a careworn, worried fear, which takes all the joy out of life. He's teaching us to live our lives with a combination of caution and calmness, and not with recklessness and anxiety. The rabbis or teachers of the law taught that people ought to meet life with a combination of two things: prudence and serenity. They insisted that every man must teach his son a trade, for they said not to teach him a trade was to teach him to steal. That is to say, they believed in taking all the necessary steps for the prudent handling of life. But at the same time, they said, "He who has a loaf of bread in his basket and still says, 'What shall I eat tomorrow?' is a man of little faith." No wonder Lee Robertson commented that worry is nothing but practical infidelity. The person who worries reveals his lack of trust in God and that he is trusting too much in self. So how do we overcome the feeling of anxiety or worry in our lives? How can a person deal with anxiety? Now, you may wish to try what one fellow did. He worried so much that he decided to hire someone to do his worrying for him. He found a man who agreed to be his hired warrior for a salary of $200,000 per year. After the man accepted the job, his first question to his boss was, "Where are you going to get $200,000 per year?" To which the man responded, "That's your worry." But away from that fictitious story, we come to Jesus Christ, the Master of Life, and to the wisdom of the apostles, where we find at least three ways to overcoming worry and anxiety. And the first is to seek first or to concentrate upon the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ suggests that we can deal with worry if we put God at the center of our lives and if we make God our first love. Now, friends, we all know that when we have great love for something, that love can drive out every other concern. If we love God faithfully, that love would inspire our work, intensify our study, purify our lives, and dominate our whole being. It was the conviction of Jesus that worry is banished when God becomes the dominant power of our lives. That is why Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can be a slave of two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both material riches and God." So if you concentrate on worrying, you might forget the goodness of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the history of the world shows how material things can usurp a place in life which they were never meant to have. Originally, possessions were the things which people entrusted to others for safekeeping. But today they have come to be the things in which we put our trust. And I think there is no better description of a man's God than to say that our God is the power in whom we trust. And when we put our trust in material things, then material things have become not our support, but our God. But when God becomes the dominant power in our lives, we would definitely banish anxiety. And then the second cure for worry is to live one day at a time. Have you ever heard of the saying, "Do not worry over tomorrow's evils, for you do not know what today will bring forth"? What if you are not alive tomorrow? Then you would have worried about a world which will not be yours at all. For that reason, Jesus suggests that if each day is lived as it comes, if each task is done as it appears, then the sum of all the days is bound to be good. It is Jesus' advice that we should handle the demands of each day as it comes, without worrying about the unknown future and the things which may never happen. Friend, it is difficult to live in and enjoy the moment when you are thinking about the past or worrying about the future. You cannot change your past, but you can ruin the present by worrying about your future. Learn from the past. Plan for the future. The more you live in and enjoy the present moment, the happier you will be. And the third and final cure for worry is trusting God with our cares and being humble under the leadership of Christ. Jesus Christ says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come to you in addition." In 1 Peter 5:6, following, the apostle of the Lord says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." And the reason we can cast our burdens to Jesus with confidence is because we are certain that God cares for us. We are certain that he who gave us his only son will with him give us all things. We are certain that since God cares for us, life is out not to break us, but to make us. And with that assurance, we can face any experience which comes to us, knowing that in everything God works for good with those who love him. Dear friends, many people become attached to their burdens more than the burdens are attached to them. And our fatigue is often caused not by work, but by worry, frustration, and resentment. What we need for a happy and effectual life in this world is simply to put our work into the Lord's hand and leave it there. Do not take it to him in prayer, saying, "Lord, guide me. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, arrange for me." And then arise from your knees and take the burden all back again to yourself and try to guide and arrange for yourself. Leave it with the Lord. And remember that what you trust to him, you must not worry over nor feel anxious about. Trust and worry cannot go together. Winston Churchill expressed his regret about worrying for nothing when he wrote, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened. Cast your burdens on the Lord, for he cares for you." Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this night. And we thank you for reminding us that carrying our burdens and being anxious about things won't do. Thank you for inviting us to bring all our worries and anxieties and burdens to you. And so tonight, O Father, I pray for any who may be going through times of trial and difficulty, who may be anxious about things in their own lives, whether be it their health situation or other forms of trouble. I pray, O Father, that you would lift those burdens up and give them the peace which only you can give. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd."
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone. For your my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will though I walk
Our Heavenly Father asked us to cast our burdens upon him. May he listen to us now as we pray for those others for whom we are concerned and by which we seek the healing of both neighbours and nations. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you our offerings of money and otherwise. Please use them for your purposes, for your needs, in your ways, and help us to give and give graciously. Thank you. While in quietness, we bow in prayer, O God. There are thousands, maybe millions, who cry to you in their misery and pain. O you who hears our prayers, hear now the weakest and bleakest. Heal now the broken and forsaken. Restore now the dejected and rejected. Lift up now the last and the least. Hear our prayer. By your gracious Spirit, save these others as you are saving us through the healing and liberating love of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Dear God, we are living in a world that is in deep need of your healing power. As we strive to be your hands and feet in a world which is staggering from hurt, pain, loss of life, tiredness, and weakness, we need you, God, to hold us up when we have such little strength. You know more than anyone what our bodies look like right at this moment. You know the pain we are going through personally, the pain we feel for our neighbours around the world, the pain we feel for our family and friends who we cannot help. You know, God, what we are going through. And so we ask that as we do your work, to show compassion, to reveal love, to help our neighbours, that you will also help us as we need to be filled with your peace, just as we reveal your peace to others. God, as we learn to be your body in the world, we ask for your presence in a world which has been ravaged by natural disasters. We pray for those in the Western USA where fires are devastating the homes, businesses and lives of all these people. We pray that you might send a healing balm to quench this burning earth. As COVID-19 continues to ravage our world, with over 30 million people having been diagnosed and the global death toll being over 940,000, we see a world which is continually breaking. We also recognise that so many other pieces of our lives have been devastated by this virus. As poverty increases and illness of all kinds continue to become worse due to the loss of jobs and the lack of health care, we also recognise the aid that is not going to countries that desperately need it. We pray for those who are enduring the heartache of bereavement, especially that of a much loved relative or friend or neighbour. Lord, spread your loving arms around them and let them feel your warm, caring, healing power. God, help us to be your hands and feet. Although it may seem that there is little we can do to make a difference, help us to start now, Teach us to find ways to nurture and help those who need your healing. Grant us the wisdom to find a way to be your body in a broken and hurting world. While we may feel we can never do enough, help us to do what we can. Although we recognise we will never be perfect, teach us that by even doing the smallest of acts, we are spreading your love to your dearest children who need it most. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let us now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life. In peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord grant us a quiet night and a perfect end.